The Wisconsin Badgers lost last night's Rose Bowl by just 1 point. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Two captivating moments during the Rose Bowl happened during kicking plays that are normally pretty routine. Late in the game, the Ducks scored after the Badgers punter fumbled the ball. And earlier, Badgers sophomore Aaron Cruikshank returned a Ducks kickoff 95 yards for a touchdown.
Cruikshank looking for it. Cruikshank picks it high. He's in the clear. Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly.
That was ESPN broadcasters calling the play. It's time for you to weigh in. Did you watch yesterday's game? What were your favorite moments? Tell us about being a Badgers fan. What do you think of their performance at the Rose Bowl and throughout the season? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Megan Hart is a sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, joining us from the West Coast where she's covering the Badgers. Megan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You were at this game last night. Tell us about the atmosphere.
Oh, it was really exciting. Really, all week, downtown LA has just been full of Badgers fans. But yesterday in Pasadena, it was a great place to be. I would say it was actually probably split about 50-50 between Wisconsin and Oregon fans, and people just had a great time. Of course, you know, the outcome wasn't what Badgers fans wanted, but they really made it a lot of fun. They played jump around in the third quarter, and people just went wild. So it was a great atmosphere.
You know, a great atmosphere that comes with a lot of pressure. I mean, the Badgers haven't won a Rose Bowl in nearly 20 years. What moments proved pivotal in that loss yesterday?
Yeah, it was a lot of pressure, and I imagine pretty stressful on fans with all those momentum changes, but it really kept them engaged in the game, which was a lot of fun. There were some really good moments for the Badgers. That Cruikshank kickoff return was only the third in Rose Bowl history, and it's a game that's been played for 106 years, so that was a big moment. The Badgers, Jack Sanborn, linebacker, he had an interception on Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert, who's only thrown a handful of interceptions all season. Wisconsin had a few big fourth down conversions, so they had some really fun moments, but really it turned out that the most significant plays ended up being some of their mistakes. They had a lot of penalty trouble, and they had four turnovers, and that's not easy to overcome.
Yeah, anytime four times in a game you give the other team the ball, not a good thing.
No, definitely not. They had three fumbles and one interception. And after the game, running back Jonathan Taylor, who has just been such an important part of this Badgers team for the last 3 years, he acknowledged that you really can't expect to beat a team like Oregon when you make mistakes like that. So they really kind of dug themselves a hole there. And it's also worth noting they missed a 47-yard field goal in the first half, which, you know, that's a big play when it ends up being a 1-point game.
Right, because they could have, in theory, had those 3 points and still been able to keep ahead of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Badgers had a chance to come back about 4 minutes left in the game, but that stopped because they had a penalty called against the Badgers. And we should say some fans skeptical of that call. But penalties really were a problem for the Badgers last night, right?
Yeah, I think actually in the post-game press conference, somebody asked Paul Christ about Badgers coach Paul Christ about that call, and he said he hadn't gotten an explanation on what happened there. You know, regardless, it was called and it stood. So penalties were a problem. Wisconsin had 9 penalties for almost 80 yards, which makes a big difference when Oregon only had 2. And Oregon did have a big penalty at the end of the first half, a big pass interference call that set Wisconsin up for a touchdown going into halftime. But really, when you take 9 penalties, again, you're kind of got a lot to overcome.
We're talking with Megan Hart, who is WPR's sports reporter, and we're recapping last night's Rose Bowl loss, where the Badgers lost by just 1 point. And Jim from Cedarburg emailed us to say that they lost by 1 point. He says the coach lost the game when he didn't have them go for a 2-point conversion. Megan, what about coaching in this circumstance? Were there obvious missteps that happened in last night's game?
You know, I think he certainly has a point there. That 2-point conversion would have been a game changer. Paul Christ has proven, I think, during his time in Wisconsin that that he's a really quality coach. He's been in the program now for 5 years and the only first-time head coach to win more games in their first 5 years than Paul Christ is Urban Meyer. So he's a great coach, but, you know, that if they had gone for a 2-point conversion there, it certainly would have been a game changer.
Yeah, and watching the game from Wisconsin last night, I don't think you could accuse Coach Paul Christ of being anything less than passionate, especially as we saw the lead go back and forth between the two. Did you have a chance to hear from the coach at all?
Yeah, I did. After the game, he gave credit to Oregon, but he said kind of the same thing that was echoed by all the players I spoke to. Wisconsin made too many mistakes to overcome, and it's tough to win when you make mistakes like that. And he also said he was just really appreciative of the team and how hard they've worked this year.
Yeah, and when we are talking about the Badger players that you heard from, we also heard from Sanborn after the game. Here he is talking about Oregon quarterback Justin Herbert.
It's not the first game that he's ran with the ball, used his legs, and so, I mean, something we knew that he had.
You know, you have a Badger, you know, talking about a duck. Help us understand the relationship between players when they're on the field. We saw some really contentious moments that had to be broken up, but also, you know, a little bit of camaraderie after the game, even when the Badgers had a disappointing loss.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that at least on Wisconsin's side, they seem to recognize that, you know, they hurt themselves in this game. And Oregon and Wisconsin, they played in the 2012 Rose Bowl. Oregon won, but that's the last time that these two teams faced each other. So these players haven't played each other before, you know, being on opposite ends of the country. They don't see each other a lot. But in the Rose Bowl, it's a big game and the players took it very seriously. And so that's, I think, why it got heated during the game. But, you know, everyone that I spoke to after the game, regardless of the outcome, said that they had just had a really good experience here in California. They learned a lot from playing in the Rose Bowl. And so I think after the game, some of that camaraderie was just, you know, them recognizing each other's accomplishments, because both teams did have a good season.
Yeah. How should we kind of gauge the performance of the Badgers offense overall last night? Did they show up?
Yeah, actually, the offense had some big plays. They had more rushing, passing and passing yards than Oregon. They also had more first downs. So it wasn't really a problem in terms of moving the ball. Again, it was really just the mistakes, you know, to have three fumbles and one interception. You are really setting yourself back doing that. They also had some penalties on the offensive side. They had a few holding and false start calls, as well as that offensive pass interference. So moving the ball wasn't a problem so much as kind of overcoming those mistakes.
How about the Badgers defense? What's the takeaway after last night then?
Well, the defense played, you know, pretty well in a lot of ways. They held Oregon to 204 yards, which is actually the fewest yards that Oregon had all season. Just as a frame of reference, they had 432 against Utah in the Pac-12 championship. So they have a good offense, and to hold them to just around 200 yards is pretty impressive. Where they struggled with stopping Justin Herbert on the run, and he's a great quarterback. He's expected to be an early pick in the 2020 NFL draft, but I'm not sure that anyone expected him to have three rushing touchdowns in last night's game, and that included that 30-yard go-ahead touchdown that put Oregon ahead at the end of the game. And Sanborn said it really just kind of came down to some miscommunications and poor angles by Wisconsin's defense in terms of stopping Herbert. But Herbert didn't have a lot of big passing plays. Wisconsin had a couple of sacks for losses last night. And that's kind of one of the things that they've been known for this season. They had 51 sacks on the season, which is the most in school history.
Last night's game, Megan had 6 lead changes. Makes for an exciting game, a somewhat stressful game. What was that like for you and the fans to watch?
Well, you know, it was a little stressful. I think one of the nice things about a game that close is it really keeps both of the fan bases in the game. You know, nobody gets too discouraged because there's so many different momentum shifts. So it made for a really fun atmosphere, but I can only imagine watching it at home. If you're a big Badgers fan, it's got to be a really stressful experience.
Right. There was a lot at stake. And so a lot of highs and lows when trying to work through it. Do we have any idea how many Badgers fans showed up at the Rose Bowl?
I'm not sure exactly. The official attendance was just over 90,000, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of red. Like I said, I would say it was about 50-50, give or take, between the two fans, which I think is really great that Wisconsin fans travel so well. They've had such a good run over the last 10 years. This was their 4th Rose Bowl appearance in 10 years, and their 6th New Year's 6 Bowl appearance. So you imagine, you know, fans maybe get tired of making those trips, but they really showed up. Pretty soon, Wisconsin fans are going to have to start getting apartments in Pasadena to come out for this game.
Suit up, wear your red, get in the car, hop on the plane, get out there. WPR's own sports reporter Megan Hart is talking with us about the Badgers after their appearance in the Rose Bowl last night. If you couldn't catch it, the Oregon Ducks defeated Wisconsin by a score of 28-27. But the infamous jump around streamed through the speakers. The only difference is that it happened halfway through the game and, well, Oregon fans didn't really want to participate in that Wisconsin tradition. Did you watch the game? Are you a Badger fan? What do you think about this season and how last night's game wound up? Are you proud of your team? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network, and I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and this conversation is all about the University of Wisconsin Badgers. WPR's sports reporter Megan Hart is reporting from the Rose Bowl. You've heard her stories this week, and now she's recapping her experience with us before she leaves California. And you can get in on this conversation about UW football, the number to call, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Megan, let's go into a quick rundown of a couple of the players that we saw last night. We should acknowledge just before the season started, we weren't sure whether the Badgers would have wide receiver Quintus Cephas. He faced sexual assault charges, then he was acquitted, then he was readmitted to the university and the team roster. How important has he been to the team's success this season?
Yeah, Cephas has been a big part of the team this year, and last night he had 59 yards and a touchdown. And I did get a chance to talk to him after the game, and he said, you know, it always feels good when the ball comes your way and you can make a difference for your team. And he was just trying to do everything he could for the guys in his locker room. But he's had a really good year for the Badgers. He has had more receiving yards this year than any Wisconsin player since Alex Erickson in 2015. So he's played an important role. And the Badgers have had a pretty good receiving core for the first time in the history of the program. They had 6 players with 20 catches or more this year. So it's been a good year for Badgers receivers.
The Badgers don't have many seniors on the team, though. Much of the roster is freshmen and sophomores. Should we then, you know, expect the team to be better next year as those players gain experience?
That's a good question. When I talked to Cephas last night, he did say he thought that this experience at the Rose Bowl was going to be a really good learning experience for returning players. So, so those players who are coming back, they do have a lot of experience, and they have a lot of experience winning with this team. But But Wisconsin is losing some key players. On the defensive side, Chris Orr and Zach Bond are both seniors, and they're two of Wisconsin's leading tacklers. So that'll be a tough loss. But the Badgers are also likely to lose some players, younger players, to the NFL draft, and that'll be very significant.
Very significant, because one of those would be Jonathan Taylor, right? You mentioned the star running back earlier.
Yeah, Taylor is expected to declare for the draft. They don't have to officially declare until sort of the middle of this month, and he hasn't done that yet. But I think all signs point to the fact that he's going to come out, and he's just done so much for this Wisconsin team. There's really so many things that you can say about them, about him as a player. He's won back-to-back Doak Walker Awards, which are given to the best running back in college football. And he just has some crazy records. One is this year he became the player, he set the record for most rushing yards by any college football player through their junior season. And he actually broke that record that was held by Herschel Walker with almost 250 fewer carries than Walker had. So he's just been such a big part of this team. And it's hard to say that a team without Jonathan Taylor could be better than a team with him.
We'll be paying attention certainly to how the roster shakes out, what happens as we move toward the next season of Badger football. Megan, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that Wisconsin's marching band performed at the Rose Bowl, a pep rally there. How did that go over?
Oh, yeah, the marching band was a big hit. They played at a pep rally Monday in downtown Los Angeles, which brought out a lot of Badgers fans, and people loved it. It was a really fun, I think, experience for fans. Melvin Gordon, former Badgers running back and current Los Angeles Ram, was there. The chancellor of UW-Wisconsin was there, and the band were kind of the star of the show. And then last night, actually, the band was really fun. They did, during halftime, a cool performance where they made an airplane, and they had like a smoke effect coming out of where the engines would be, and fans really liked that. So you know, the band were certainly popular last night too,
bringing some additional arts and culture from Wisconsin all the way to California. Megan, thank you so much for recapping it for us. Travel safely, and we appreciate you joining us.
Thanks.
Megan Hart is a sports reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. We've been talking about the fact that the Wisconsin Badgers lost last night's Rose Bowl by just 1 point. Now it will be time for Wisconsin Life. Wisconsin Life is part of The Morning Show and the shows that you hear here on the Ideas Network. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with this story about a taxidermist.
Wisconsin's hunting season is underway. After the meat has been packed up in the freezer, taxidermists often take on the job of mounting the heads of the harvest. Amanda Bestuel of Iola is relatively new to the business and one of the few independently operating female taxidermists in the state. She told WPR's Patty Murray that mounting deer and other animals after they've been harvested is a respectful thing to do. Plus, it's part of some Wisconsinites' heritage.
Oh, hey. Hi, Amanda.
Amanda Bestuel greets me at her front door and leads me down to her basement workshop, which is well-ventilated and equipped with freezers.
I got into taxidermy basically because I've always had an interest in animals, and I was a fan of taxidermy. I enjoyed looking at it, and when I moved up here, I married into a hunting family.
Do you think you would have been into this business otherwise?
That's a good question, and not one I've really thought about, because this is where my life has brought me, but I think one way or another I would have gotten into taxidermy, mainly because it was always in the back of my mind, but there was a little bit of women don't do that, and I think that kind of squashed the idea for a long time until I grew up and got the confidence to just do it.
Bestuel tans the hides of the animals, mostly deer. She has done everything from turkeys to a black squirrel and black bears.
To date, I would say my most challenging mount, I did a 3/4 bear, and It was most challenging because of its size and my size. It was a bit of a wrestle getting the hide onto the form.
Is there any animal you'd like to do you haven't done yet?
Gosh, there's so many I'd like to do. The next project I'm really excited about is to do my first bobcat, which I have in the freezer. It's ready to go, tanned. I just need to put it on the form in this freezer in here.
Vestal finds the cat's hide and pulls it out of her freezer that looks like it could be in any suburban basement.
You know what? The bobcat's right here.
Instead of a frozen pizza or chicken nuggets, she pulls out a bobcat pelt. Vestal and other taxidermists generally tan the hides of animals, then put them on a type of sculpted form similar to styrofoam. They add glass eyes to make the specimens look alive.
This was actually a roadkill bobcat that a customer picked up, and it was in good shape. That's another way to get specimens for taxidermy.
Vestal feels she's honoring the animals that have been killed. She also says most customers eat the meat.
Rarely do I buy any meat from the store that's been, you know, produced from factory farms and all that. It's, you know where your food's coming from, and I think that's important to a lot of people.
That story about taxidermist Amanda Bestuel of Iola came to us from WPR's Patty Murray. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin, in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every single Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast feed and find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And you also hear Wisconsin Life here on the Ideas Network. Tune in tomorrow morning during our Wisconsin Weekend program to hear another brand new Wisconsin Life. Coming up now on the morning show, we're discussing a push to declare racism a public health crisis in Wisconsin. And we're also looking at efforts to improve school safety through other means than just beefing up security, changing things like door locks and having metal detectors. I'm Keely Boltina. Thanks for being here on The Morning Show, and you're listening to The Ideas Network.